Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Sunbury Motors, North 4th Street in Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now, from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
All right, Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, Key Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. All right, get to our play-by-play call of the day in a moment. The college basketball trial is underway. And believe it or not, college football got targeted today in the college basketball trial that began today. Martin Blazer testified between 2000 and 2013. He played football players from Penn State, Pitt, Notre Dame, Michigan, Alabama, and North Carolina, in hopes he would become their financial advisor. One of them is specific about, well, there are a couple he was specific about, that if you put the everything together, would be Aaron Maben. He said the player for Penn State wound up being the number 11 overall pick. That's Aaron Maben. His father repaid the $10,000. The problem is that they're saying an assistant coach, and I think I have a pretty good idea who this might be, arranged such a deal, and if it's true, that's a major violation. Also, Akeem Nix of North Carolina was another one that, if you put all the dots together, would be involved in this too. So it is news. It is out there. I want to make sure you're aware of it. Now, our play-by-play call of the day.
The 1-0. And hit well to left. Got a chance. Going back is Robles. To the track. Gone! It breaks a 5-5 tie. Third extra base hit tonight for Nolan. And 6-5 Rockies.
And that is the way you get your 1,000th career hit. By going yard.
Yeah, remember Derek Jeter, number 3,000 he went yard. So Nolan Arenado is a great player. Gets it done. All right, Neil Kulong, always a steadying force on this show, no matter what he says, joins us. Hello, Neil.
That describes me well. I was often described as a dominant edge rusher back in my day.
Yeah. I mean, I was – oh, absolutely. In fact, you know when I was really great as an edge rusher when I played high school football was when we were just doing like the there was only a dummy on the other side. And at that point, even though it took me a while, but I finally got around him.
I could aim for that edge. I could find it.
So, if they go corner, I know Mike Tomlin has looked at Rock Ya-Sin from Temple by way of Presbyterian. Not exactly resume builders. And has looked at, and obviously you've heard the name Greedy Williams. Would you be surprised if they went corner? And if so, which one of those two draw your attention?
It would surprise me if they went corner. If Rock Me Slowly is really the guy that they want,
Rock Me Slowly.
He doesn't check a lot of the boxes that the team has been drafting lately, except for defensive backs. And you have to look at this just from an economic perspective of roster construction, efficiency example. How many players can you draft in your secondary before a highly expensive a highly utilized one in terms of your draft, is sitting on the bench with nowhere to go. It's not as if they didn't spend money on Joe Haden 3 years ago. Right. They just spent money on Steven Nelson.
Yep.
In my opinion, they owe Mike Hilton a lot of money. You're going to draft another one to what? Replace Hilton?
Yeah.
To let Haden walk? I mean, I guess you could do that, but at what point can you just find guys that can go out there and play and not have to use premium picks on it? The reputation for LSU cornerbacks isn't exactly huge in many ways.
No.
Except for
Peterson.
Without Peterson,
yeah.
Another one I'm thinking of is Jalen, not Ramsey, the other Jalen that was in that draft, that dog that was super long, super athletic, but barely played the game, and everyone thought he'd be okay once he gets some training in. I think he's on like his fourth team if he's still in the league right now. He's basically Justin Gilbert. He's a defensive player that probably just should have continued playing offense, but signed on with a school that prioritizes their athletes to play on the defensive side of the ball. That's what LSU does. That's how their guys get drafted, but rarely are we seeing their secondary guys in great positions to come in and play right away. Now, if you want to make the argument that perhaps, well, he's a good developmental project, which, okay, fine. So what are you doing this season then?
This is the national
last year of his deal.
This is the National Football League, okay? You don't do developmental stuff. I mean, you got to be able, if you're a top three round pick, you got to be ready to come in and play.
Yeah, he's got to be able to play something. And look at what's ahead of him. I watch Greedy Williams play. I see a lot of the things that people like about him in a vacuum. That looks fine. For the Steelers, you know, I can't stress this enough. It's insanity to continue to draft, to continue to put a high premium on defense secondary players who aren't able to come in and make an impact right away, but you continue to do it. Now you've got a backlog of them, okay? If you were to draft one in the first round, and let's just say, for argument's sake, I know this is a crazy thought, that cornerback that they draft doesn't get cut, he makes the team. What that means is you have to cut my buddy Artie Burns, or you have to cut Cam Sutton, who was a third-round pick not that long ago.
That's right.
And you're cutting them because of the established three top cornerbacks that you have. Your two outside guys in your slot are Joe Haden, Steven Nelson, and Mike Hilton.
Right.
You found all three of these players in free agency. Yet you're going to continue to go after the draft to fill your secondary. What's missing here? What part of this makes sense for you in the long term? If you want to invest capital, extend Haden, which you can and you should. I don't think it's going to cost him that much.
That's right.
You just spent for Nelson, and Hilton's still on a cheap deal. You could, you know, really kind of make a problem for him and give him a restricted free agency contract next year, or you could give him a moderate extension this summer and lock up three pretty solid cornerbacks, and then from there start building your depth the way that they have in the past, just with better players. I'm not saying go find Gerald Sensabaugh, but perhaps, you know, you could find a Ross Cockrell who played pretty well for a little while. Bryce Kane did a pretty good job for a little while. These were younger guys who got let go just by systematic changes on whatever team that they had.
Right.
They don't cost the team a whole lot of money. They're able to play a certain amount of snaps, so they're there good for depth, and they made a couple plays. Artie Burns doesn't need to be on the team if you can find these guys, and there's no reason why you shouldn't be able to. But if you really want to hold out hope that you might be able to trade Burns somehow, I don't think that's going to work necessarily. But Sutton is still there.
Yeah.
He was injured his entire rookie year, so last year is pretty much the first year he got action on the field.
Yeah.
You have plenty of cornerbacks. And now you have two secondary coaches. You've drafted a ton of safeties. You can't keep dipping into the same well and expect to get the same results.
Right.
You have to change something else. In my opinion, that change was taking Butler away from overseeing everything and giving him a position.
Mm-hmm.
So he's going to coach the linebackers the way that he used to when he was successful.
Yep.
That frees up a coaching spot with the minus of Joey Porter. They can take that and put it into the secondary to help out what they have there now, along with Terrell Austin. That should be plenty of attention for a total of 10 guys, many of which are very young, many of which are highly drafted. You've drafted plenty of guys. you need to start making them work, because they're not going to be the problem for long. And it just, for me, if I'm a general manager, I'm sick and tired of going back to the draft to draft the same position over and over again because we can't get it right. At some point, we need to figure out who's the problem, the player or the coach.
All right, so by the time we get to Friday night, three rounds are over with. Idealistically, Neil, idealistically, in those three rounds, by Friday midnight, what should the Steelers, in your opinion, address?
I think they're going to need an inside linebacker. I think they need a tight end, and I think they need an edge rusher. In my opinion, if they do those things, in the order they do them, I'm probably going to be a little grumpy because I don't think it's going to go the way that I feel that it should. I think they should have done those things, and I really don't think they should be on a path to draft another seven players in the later rounds. Their rookie pool is $8.2 million. They have $5 million in cap space right now.
Right.
I really don't think that they want to draft 10 guys and bloat that pool up as much as they can.
Right.
I know that they want to get a deal with Ben Roethlisberger done, which I'm sure would lower his cap number this season. I wouldn't be surprised if they made a deal with Joe Hayden. Doesn't make a whole lot of sense to have him play the final year into his contract.
Right.
He's been great for him. Not spectacular, but certainly a solid cornerback. There's no reason why you can't give him another 2 years on top of what he has now. He's earned that. You put all those things together, they've got some cap space there to handle veteran players. They don't all have to be 22 years and younger, especially in their back seven and their secondary. They're going to have to deal with a little bit of youth. I think it's probably going to be all signs point to an inside linebacker in round one if the certain ones fall, which they probably will.
Right.
You put all that together, you have a team that's got a little bit of flexibility cap-wise, not a ton, enough to sign a veteran cast off somewhere who, after a team decides to draft, say, two outside linebackers, this one who's pretty good is now kind of expendable. We don't want to pay him, so we're going to let him go. If they have the flexibility to be able to bring in a player like that and improve their team from a veteran standpoint, I'd be really happy for that. And I, to get back to your original question, which I didn't forget, I swear, they can set the tone for that the first three rounds of this draft, because the reality is it's a good tight end draft, and there are two exceptional tight ends that are going to be taken at some point in the first 20 picks of this draft. It'd be almost unprecedented for somebody to trade up for a tight end, but I think with where this offense is, where it can be and where it's going to need to rebuild to, they're going to have to do a lot better than Vance McDonald, Xavier, I want to plow a safety at the goal line, forget to do so, then fumble the ball and let Ben and Antonio Brown argue out who really lost that game. And I forget his name. Who's the third guy again? Bucky Hodges or something like that?
Sure.
Sounds like a 1908 baseball player. Hey, he's not your third tight end. You need somebody else. You have to come out of this draft drafting another one. And you've wanted to do it in the third before. You've wanted to do it in the second before. You had to settle for the fifth, and it turned out to do pretty well for you, except you can't pay Jesse James over 5 years what he's making now in Detroit. You got to find somebody that can get in there and play three downs pretty quickly into his career.
Bucky Hodges, by the way, was the second baseman for the Brooklyn Dodgers in 1914.
I think that's where I got it from. You know what?
I'm just
kidding.
What
it was? I think I heard the name in Field of Dreams when
You may be right.
Young Frank Casella was running around the field pointing out all the old time players.
Yeah,
I think there was a Bucky Hodges in there.
In this particular draft, should there be a consideration on the Steelers' part in drafting another quarterback, and should there be a consideration on the Steelers' part in drafting a running back?
I definitely think there should be a running back in there. Quarterback, I got to think that room is set for where they are. I think they've liked Dobbs' development. We've seen it. Perhaps it didn't do so well in game, but I think they selected Rudolph on a I'll use this term loosely, but a gift. It was a third round pick they didn't expect to have, and it was a player that I don't think should have been available in the third round. So you put those two things together, that kind of a pick makes sense for them. I think you take advantage of that when the competition is Landry Jones in an expensive year, the last year of his contract. It made sense for those moves. I don't think it would, barring a similar type of situation, and maybe not even then if it happened now, I don't think that's the right move to make. But a running back, I think you need a lot of running backs. And
yes.
If there's any team in the NFL that knows that, it's the Steelers.
Right.
If I really wanted to be a smart butt, I could make the argument that the MVP, or at least the LVP, of each of the last Steelers' five seasons now has been a third-string running back.
That's right.
That got forced out to play in an important game.
Yep.
It's happened every single year. And now you don't even have Le'Veon Bell. You have James Conner, who's a great story. We all know it. We've all heard it. Who's gotten hurt a lot in his NFL career. That put the ball into the hands of Jalen Samuelson. I liked what he did against the Patriots, too. That was a Patriots defense that was playing absolutely not to get beat deep down the field. They were going to let the Steelers run to the point that they could. I'd like to remind everybody, too, how many points the Steelers scored in that game. It wasn't exactly an offensive display against a not-good defensive team.
Right.
And the Patriots screwed up a lot in that game. So I don't think anybody can be sold on him right away. He got some action as a rookie, and that's good. He has a role. I'm not cutting him, but, you know, when he wasn't an option, and again, Connor wasn't an option, what happened? You had Stephen Ridley carrying the ball, who, one, fumbled late in a game they had to win against New Orleans,
yes.
And two, failed to convert a fourth and one. You need a guy that can get the ball and get it across the line. I don't care if he's a rookie, veteran, whatever. You need a guy that can do that, and Ridley had been with him for 2 years. If Ridley hadn't been on the roster as a Band-Aid replacement before, he wouldn't have made the team this year.
Right.
At some point, you're just going to have to get younger at the running back position, especially in a year that they did not expect Ridley to even make the team. They expected Bell to be there in week one. And when he wasn't, it's like, all right, well, it's Ridley or die for us now.
Mm-hmm.
That didn't work out very well. They were once again completely depleted at the running back position at the end of the season. They need to get guys who can get consistent carries throughout the year, not worry about the prize back, not worried about running guys into the ground, not worry about who's walking past what Super Bowl championships, as Mike Tomlin would say. You need guys to get a decent amount of carries each so they are ready, tested, used to what they're doing in their offense. And I think a rookie can play into that. I don't see any reason that they shouldn't be doing that. You're looking for weapons on the field. I don't know how many receivers you're going to add every year. You know, at some point, you got to add another reasonably high round running back. You got to get another one in there. And not to challenge James Conner, but to spread out the pain a little bit. You know, give guys an average of 6-7 carries a game over the course of 10 games, they're used to what's going on when they get in there. They're used to their role, and the team is able to rush for 150 yards, which would be a pretty good number.
Yeah, it's interesting you mentioned it. Just a comment, and then we'll close up. It's interesting how you mentioned the ability to get that tough yard. In 2005 in training camp, Penn State had Tony Hunt, Austin Scott. Joe Paterno decided this is how we're going to find out who the running back is. He had nothing but a third and one and third and two scrimmage the entire time. And Hunt was the guy that kept converting. Austin Scott did not consistently convert. Hunt won the job. That's how he determined. He did nothing but a third and one and third and two scrimmage. Right? And that's all they did. And whomever was able to get the tough yard got the job. Tony Hunt won the job.
I'd want that personally. If I was a coach, that's probably what I would do going into the season, simply because Mean Joe Green even said this the best. Whether you pass the ball with success, whether you run the ball with success, there comes a point in every game, and Belichick knows this too, you have to win a short yardage down. You're probably going to have to do it on offense and defense, but just speaking from the offensive perspective, you're going to have to line up and you're going to have to smash somebody and gain a yard.
Yep.
You can't consistently throw your way out of these things all the time. If you've done it before, then they're playing for that. You got to get hat on hat up front. You need a running back that can find a way to get low and get forward. And some guys just can't do it. You know, it doesn't seem to work. And the game is oftentimes on the line in those situations.
Yep.
You know, I don't have to go back very far. I forget what year it was, 06, the Rose Bowl. If USC, which had been unstoppable offensively all year, had the right package in to gain 1 yard on the ground, they probably end up winning that game. But they left the door open. They left Vince Young to go out there and do his thing, and, and they ended up losing.
That's right.
Because they couldn't gain the yard when they had to gain it. It's situational football. You have to have guys that can do that when called upon, and you can't do it when they haven't played for five consecutive games either. You're going to have to get some type of rotational system going. You can play the hot guy as much as you want, but you've got to have a plan in place, a special package to play short yardage football. And I'm not 100% convinced right now the Steelers have that. And Connor is well on his way. You know, he's great at the goal line. I thought they blocked for him really well at the goal line. But he's going to have to get low and get nasty in a lot of situations. And, you know, he can't do that if he's in the tub. And that's what happened. So they didn't have anybody else to be able to do it. And they ended up losing a critical game. That, for a variety of reasons. You want to unpack that game sometime. That was crazy. That entire the final three quarters of that game, the amount of things that happened in it was just unbelievable. From officiating, from big plays, blown calls, bad play calls, missed fake punts. So many weird little things happened. And you know, the Steelers just were not the team to advance to the playoffs last year, and I accept that. But they need to remember those things. They need to fix them, because they can't lose games like that to great football teams on the road when they had them. When they're going to blow big leads to San Diego or Los Angeles at home, they're going to lose the Raiders again. They've got to be able to win games close, and they just don't seem to consistently be able to do that. And that's a couple year thing now.
Neil, always a pleasure. Appreciate it.
Definitely. Thanks for having me, guys.
Back with more in a moment on News Radio 1070 WKOK, brought to you by Sunbury Motors.
Get outside and clean up the yard.
Yes, dear.
Springtime means cleanup time, even at Sunbury Motors Ford. Sunbury Motors Spring Inventory Cleanup has begun. Once a year, SMC takes their entire new Ford inventory and prices them at levels not seen before. SMC is where you want to be to choose from 44 2019 Ford Escapes. This just in, Ford Motor Company and Sunbury Motors have increased the discounts on 2019 Ford Escapes. They're slashed to the lowest price ever offered to the general public, now at an amazing $18,985. SMC is where you want to be for 2019 Ford F-150s, starting at just $25,899. And SMC has 66 in stock. SMC is where you want to be if you want a brand new 2018 Ford Focus for $14,905. Hurry into Sunbury Motors Ford in the Northwest Street Auto Plaza.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now, from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
All right, Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. I mentioned the college basketball trial for weeks was going to be a major story, and it turns out it's a major story in a way we didn't expect it to be. It began today, or I believe it began yesterday, but today witnesses were called for the first time today. And out of nowhere, college football was implicated in it, and yes, Penn State was implicated in it. All right. So let's get to it, and then we'll get to Chris Mack and talk about the Pirates. But again, I'm not going to sit here and run and hide from any of this stuff. It's out there. Let's talk about it. Let's get to it. This deals with Aaron Maben. Aaron Maben, of course, if you recall, plays the 2008 season. He was terrific. And he decided to go the NFL draft early. It is alleged in this trial by the government witness Marty Blazer that he said between 2010 and 2014, he paid several hundred to several thousand dollars to football players from Pitt, Penn State, Michigan, Notre Dame, Northwestern, North Carolina, and Alabama. Much of this was eventually uncovered and legislated by the NCAA, which hit North Carolina's football program with sanctions. He offered information under cooperation with the government. He's facing up to 67 years in prison if he lies or misleads. Blazer said he would pay college football players anywhere from $100 to $3,000 per month from 2000 to 2014, usually by cash, sometimes by Western Union. He would send Western Union to friend, family member, or girlfriend, he testified. Now, the most damning testimony involved Aaron Maben. He alleges that he paid the father of Aaron Maben $10,000, with the payment being made at the behest of an unnamed Penn State football assistant coach. I think we have a pretty good read on who that assistant coach is. He testified at the encouragement that $10,000 was made. Well, Maben ended up turning pro, and the father gave the $10,000 back. Now, if accurate, the NCAA would consider such an arrangement a major infraction. But again, there's also a statute of limitations on such. But Blazer is a Pittsburgh financial advisor. He's turned government informant, pleading guilty to security fraud. And so this is what he got into. Now you're saying, okay, Penn State obviously is the big bombshell because that is where the details were offered today. That is where the details were offered. But I will also point out in this that it says Alabama, Notre Dame, Northwestern, Michigan, Pitt, Northwestern, North Carolina. The problem is going to be moving forward is going to be which coaches are still active. Well, back in this time frame, Nick Saban is the head coach at Alabama, and he's still the head coach now. Pat Fitzgerald was the head coach at Northwestern. He's the head coach now. Brian Kelly was the head coach at Notre Dame. Then he is now. Pitt's changed over coaches. Michigan's changed over coaches. Penn State's changed over coaches. North Carolina's changed over coaches. Now you talk about active. If it is whom we all assume it is, then that coach is still active as an assistant coach, but at another institution. And that then becomes a problem. Altogether, should it be true? Disgusting. Yes, his father, it's alleged, gave the money back and so forth, but the fact that an assistant coach was involved, disgusting. All right. But, again, we've got to bring it up. It's right there. And since it's right there, we're going to talk about it. Okay. Let's bring in Chris Mack now to talk a bit about the Pirates' great start. Of course, the timing of this is great. We bring Chris on when the Pirates had the best record in the National League and then lose 12-4 last night. Chris, hello.
We're only off by a couple, Steve. Don't worry.
Oh, so it was 218 to nothing.
Yeah, 218 to 1, I think it was, yeah. Let me take you wildly off track for just a second.
Sure.
Miles Sanders, where is he going? Not like what team, but what round? Are we talking?
I will say third round for Miles
Somewhere
Sanders.
Somewhere in the third.
I think Miles Sanders, because, again, we're talking about running backs. Running backs are valued differently now than maybe 15 years ago.
Oh, sure.
Barkley, guys like Zeke Elliott and Barkley being the exceptions.
Right.
But I think the team that drafts Sanders is going to get a very productive running back that's going to help them for a long time.
Yeah, I think of a certain team that has a lot of defensive needs, but that would like to have a number two punch to their number one running back, and I start to wonder. But, just thinking out loud.
You can wonder because in round three, he might be there for them to take. Because, look, they're already set at one spot because they got already Burns.
Sure.
All right. I guess. Did I ever tell you the Tom Bradley story?
Please do.
When Tom Bradley got the Steelers job.
Uh-huh.
So I called him up. I said, "Scrap, that's great." I said, "I got good news and bad news for you." He goes, "Yeah." And typical Scrap, "What's the bad news?" I said, "No, I'll start with the good news." He goes, "All right." He says, "You're coaching in the NFL." He goes, "Okay, what's the bad news?" I said, "You're coaching Artie Burns."
Well, maybe not for much longer. We'll see.
There was no response.
Silence.
Silence on the other
end. One of the few times Tom didn't have anything to say.
No, then he shifted gears to Jack Hammond, and then we just kind of went off on a different tangent. Look, despite all this, what are they, 12-8 now? That's a 60% winning percentage. But I want to get to the fine line. Can some teams, like, let's take the Yankees. We know the Yankees have 13 guys on the IL right now, you know, including Aaron Judge, and he may be out 2 months. But the Pirates have Marte, Dickerson. Are they a team that is in that fine line where they just can't afford to lose even a part?
I think, you know, what's interesting to me is that they've gotten off to this start, and it by all rights should be a better start because their bullpen has been so undependable.
Right.
So, you know, this could very well be. I mean, it's not hyperbole to say that if three of those ball games that they blew late leads on had stayed as victories, you're talking about the best record in baseball right now, which is insane to think about.
Sure.
With Dickerson out, with Marte out, with, you know, Adam Frazier missed a few games last week. We can go down the list and name, you know, name after name. So I think they're right on the edge of the cliff. You know, like if you're standing with your toes on the cliff, trying to you know, swing your arms wildly to keep from falling back into the gulch, I think they're right there. And, you know, I think they've handled it really well to this point. They got Polanco back last night, and he looked really good. I think that's important. At least at the plate, he looked good. So I think that's a big part of it. If they could get Gung to come around, then you start talking about deepening the lineup and deepening the bench. Morant's been a pleasant surprise wherever they've put him in the field. Bell's been more than expected this early in the season. I think the big worry around the team right now, at least those of us that observe the team on a daily basis, is, you know, how many more ball games are they going to lose because the bullpen can't hold on to a
lead?
And and this starting rotation has been otherworldly. It's been the best in the National League to this point. You can't expect them to do, you know, to churn out 6 and 7 2 and 3 run starts.
That's right.
Every time through. And I'm trying to knock on as much wood as possible here right now, everything within reach that even resembles wood, because injuries happen in a rotation too, and they're not very deep. You know, the sixth starter is probably Nick Kingham. You know, Stephen Brault was just sent down to Indy. So the question isn't so much, is it smoke and mirrors right now? Right. It's just how much longer, you know, 12-8, considering the injuries they've dealt with and the bullpen,
right,
is actually probably right about on par with where they should be.
I want to ask you about Musgrove, because I know whenever we've talked, I've never really have talked about him. Well, I tell you, if he was in with all due respect, a high-profile organization, I think people would be raving about this guy.
When they
picked him up in the deal, I was like, really? Because his past has always been, you know, banged up, checkered, not great.
Sure, but the outings in the World Series against the Dodgers,
not great, the whole deal. Okay, what has fallen into place for him, and has Ray Searage had anything to do with that?
I think Searage is part of it. I also think this is the guy that thrives on being in an important role. You know, to bring up again the World Series against the Dodgers a couple years ago.
Right.
He had the rough outings, but then he also came back within the very same outing where he came up the lead and just mowed a few guys down to keep the Astros in that ball game in particular, where he gave up the lead. This is a guy who I think just thrives on sort of competition and being called, having a challenge presented to him. And I think leadership is one of his strong suits, and I think it's why he fits in so nicely with the rest of the rotation. When you look at Jameson Taillon and Trevor Williams, they're more of the quiet leadership, lead by example types, and he fits in as more of a demonstrative guy. You know, when they call on him to hit, he's going to go out there and pinch hit. He's a competitor. He just wants to go out and play ball. You know, you could see him playing tight end in the NFL too, the way he's built. So he's just an intense guy, and I think he's easy to root for and easy to get along with in the clubhouse. So I think a lot of the guys in the room just gravitate towards him. He's a good lead by example type, and that intensity is something that honestly, for a club like this, I think, where you've got several veterans maybe who, you know, weren't expecting much from, Cabrera, Shuck, guys like that. But then you've also got young guys who are still learning how to win. He was only a part of that one Astros team, but he was still a part of it, and he could impart something on these guys from that experience.
Yeah, because, look, and I'll remind people along the way, if I make a mistake on an evaluation in doing this show, I'll bring it back up again. I'm just not into the old, like, I'm right about everything all the time kind of show. I mean, after a while, that just becomes just so boorish. And I said when they picked up Musgrove, I said, look, the guy's a five. I mean, you know, I said maybe at best he's a four in the rotation. And I was dead wrong about that. And it just seems like his mix, every game he pitches, he seems that when he leaves the game, no matter the outcome, they're in the game because of him.
Yeah, and he's always, I think, what I have learned from talking to these guys over the last few years, and this is everybody that's in the rotation now, the one thing they've taken from Ray Searidge over the last couple of years is that, okay, if you go out there on any given day and maybe you don't have your fastball and you see it early, well, guess what? You better find pitches 2 and 3 real quick and get to them. And they're very good at adjusting on the fly, I think. You don't see, and maybe that's credit to the pitching coach and his staff. Maybe that's a credit to the manager. Maybe that's just a credit to these guys being really good ball players and recognizing, hey, I don't have my best stuff on a given day. I'm going to go with this and get out of this outing what I can. But that's the thing now, is this rotation. You don't necessarily see a five right now, which is crazy.
That's right. Yeah.
You see a couple of ones maybe, and definitely a couple of twos and threes, and you just hope that they can keep going.
That's interesting because that's exact last September when I went to a Pirates Marlins game the night before the Penn State Pitt game, and Frank Coonley came in, and Frank and I probably talked for a half an hour, and that was one of the items we brought up, is that you've got a lot of guys that maybe you don't have a one, but you got a whole bunch of twos and maybe a three and maybe a potential one or two. And that,
right.
And he felt the same way, that that's how their starting staff stacked up. And I agree with that. Now, I want to ask about the attendance part, because last night was friends and family night at the ballpark. And there was, I mean, and even then, there were some members of families that didn't go. Okay. So I know that when school gets out, life changes. I understand that. But is there a disappointment that more people have not latched on to the team that's off to such a good start?
I think if you got them on some truth serum or hooked up to a lie detector, they'd be a little disappointed, sure. But it is still early, and
yes,
Pirate fans, more than probably many other teams, are going to wait to have them shown to them. You know,
yeah.
Oh, great, you're off to a 12-8 start. All these injuries, let's wait for the other shoe to drop. It's very much a wait for the other shoe to drop fan base, and that's because of everything that's happened over the years. So I think if you get to mid to late May,
yes,
and they're still churning out a 600 winning percentage, then you're going to start to see more people show up. Now that the weather has sort of permanently turned for the better, I think you'll start to see a few more people in seats once you start to get some of those division rivalry games, with the Cubs and the Cardinals. You'll start to see some of those people, some more people
right.
show up, including
okay.
those fans. So it's very much in line with what I've seen over the last couple of early Aprils, you're lucky to get 8,000 on a good night, which sounds terrible. But, you could look around, you could look at Miami, you could look at Cincinnati, you could look a few other places where they're probably doing similar numbers right now at this point in the year.
Miami does that in August. All right. Now, Cincinnati.
For the entire month.
Yeah. Hey, we cracked 10,000. Really? For the month.
Yeah.
All right. Well, Chris, absolute pleasure as always. Great to talk with you.
Always love catching up with you.
All right. Chris Mack from Pittsburgh. Well, we've had an active, moving show today, and we're going to move to a break as we continue on News Radio 1070 WKOK. All right, coming up tomorrow, Austin Gale, Pro Football Focus. Mark Zumoff, the outstanding play-by-play voice of the Philadelphia 76ers. From NBC Sports Philadelphia, Zumoff's one of the really great guys out there. I'm thrilled for him because you know what? He broadcast a lot of bad hoops for a lot of years. Me bad hoops.
I'll tell you, he and Ala Abdunabi, they're a great pair. See if the Phillies, see if Philly can clinch it tonight against the Nets and move into round two.
They'll win by a dozen.
Joel Dave Embiid, Sims. Probable tonight. Joel Embiid, by the way.
Well, that means he won't play. Thursday, Charlie Campbell from WalterFootball.com in the NFL Draft. Thursday's the first round of the NFL Draft. And we haven't had him on the show, but I cannot begin to tell you how much I personally and professionally respect Dave Sims. Known him for a long time. He and Jack were paired up together years ago with Westwood One. Dave's doing the Seattle Mariners now. And I'm thrilled we're able to get him on the show. In fact, I believe within 60 seconds of Sean asking him, he said yes. It was pretty quick.
Very quick. Followed up last night, and good to go with Dave on Thursday. I can't wait for this, too.
He's one of the real class acts out there.
Well, just a great, just a great resume of what he has done over the years.
Oh,
baseball,
goodness.
Westwood One football, like you said, with Jack. And a lot of these games aired here on WKOK back in the 90s. Big East basketball, and of course, the show that he does with Coach K on Sirius. To be able to talk to him about that and his relationship with Coach K. Past few years.
Basketball and beyond. And Dave does a terrific job on that show. And Coach K is good at it. There's no getting around it. Obviously he's a better coach than his radio guy. So it's just like Dave's a better radio guy than he is coach. But again, the story today about the basketball trial in New York brought with it unexpected news about football. And that unexpected news about football, it mentions that Marty Blaser, who had been a financial analyst or whatever out of Pittsburgh, something like that, he was the leadoff witness for the prosecution today. And he said, he was involved in getting money to some players at Alabama, Notre Dame, Northwestern, Pitt, Penn State, North Carolina, and the one prominently mentioned based on putting the tea leaves together was Aaron Maben. Encouraged by, quote, an assistant coach at Penn State. I think we have a pretty good idea who that assistant coach was. And for $10,000, encouraging him to stay at Penn State. Well, it turned out he opted for the NFL draft and the father gave the $10,000 back. But should it be true, I can't begin to get to what my level of disgust is.
Your station for news, weather, business, and CBS Sports Radio. News Radio 1070 WKOK Sunbury and on WKOK.com.